Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
It's going good.
So we are, for the first time since March of 2020, sitting across from each other recording a podcast.
I did not actually fully appreciate that because of not just COVID, but general like conveniences these days, that this is the first time that we've recorded together. Because even post-quarantine, it's just we've discovered it's easy enough to each be at our own house and record. Yeah. And we're wearing our Friends on Fire matching shirts.
And we are in Austria.
I thought we were in Australia.
No, we've been in Austria.
Okay. You say we're in Austria, but I feel like we're also in Germany.
We are right at the border.
We're right at the border. And every time we go anywhere,
we go into Germany.
Well, sometimes we go, you're like 1 minute you're in Germany, next minute you're in Austria, then you're in Germany again. Like we went through one small town and I don't know if you noticed, but we went through Austria and Germany and then back into Austria.
I did not know this.
And I was like, that's got to be confusing for the residents of this very small neighborhood. Greg was watching the signs and he was like, we're in like, okay. Anyways, yeah, we're live in Austria with our families.
On our first ever Friends on Fire corporate retreat.
Yes, corporate. We're joking when we say corporate retreat, but we did go to, coincidentally is the wrong word, but interestingly, we did not have to, can you hear the birds chirping? I hope y'all can hear the birds chirping. We're sitting outside our Airbnb
in the
house
Alps.
In the Alps, looking at the most beautiful scene, and there's nature around us and it's beautiful. So I hope
there's like 100 birds flying.
There are. They might be flying over like some sort of dead carcass, which makes it less beautiful right now, but it is pretty nice.
Hey Maggie, before we get started, we should open up our drinks.
Oh yeah. I feel like we're this is very European. I feel like we're Joel and Matt and cheers. We're gonna cheers. Nice.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
To a live Prost. Podcast recording. Prost.
Oh, that's a good
one. That's very nice. I did just brush my teeth, so that's actually a little funny, but it's going to settle in soon.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's interesting is that we didn't actually have to work that hard to make this happen. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we've been planning forever of like, let's meet up here. I was going to go to I was joking about Australia, but I was going to do this big 6-week trip to Australia and New Zealand and realized that it was going to be difficult with COVID and other stuff. Like, you know, over a year ago, we were planning it. So we decided on Europe. You were already going to be in Europe for a month, which you've done frequently, right?
We've not spent this length of time in Europe, but we go to Europe.
Okay. But you already had like another trip planned mm-hmm. with your family after this trip where we're at together. And it just happened that we actually were going to be in Europe, not in the exact same locations, but in Europe for like 3 or 4 weeks overlapping. And we started sharing, I had a rough itinerary. You had a pretty somewhat locked itinerary for sections of it because you had this other family trip. And we happened to have some time and we were like, well, look, we're going to be pretty close. Like, let's pick something that's kind of central or places we already both want to go to. And it was like, not that hard to land. And coincidentally, we're a bunch of Americans also. And we happen to be, today's July 3rd, but we'll be together in July 4th. So I was joking. I was like, oh, great. We can celebrate July 4th.
Well, we ended up in similar places in part because of our frugality, because we were committed to buying our tickets for our families on points. And the availability of point flights into Amsterdam is far greater than yes. other cities in the EU. And so we kind of ended up in the same place because of our.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about the initial flights.
And then I was giving you the hard sell on how beautiful this part of Germany and Austria is.
Yeah, and you were right. We've done some pretty cool outings the last couple of days and seen some just amazing, beautiful, just picturesque places, which we've been sharing on Instagram and we'll share more of. We've gotten some, we got to play with our drones a lot, which was really fun.
We fly our drones together. It's really cool. It's like we're 10 years old.
I know, today we were flying them. And at one point we were both kind of off this trail a little bit to get out of people's way. And at one point Britta looks over and Britta, who's Mike's wife, looks over at both of us and is like, oh, look at them over there playing with their drones. And I was like, you see, like we're a bunch of kids with like expensive toys.
We sort of are.
And this was right before I almost hit some
poor tourist,
random tourist.
Yeah,
it was close. Trying to do a really cool shot of Mike and Britta, and I was like flying them fast, and it was sunny, and I couldn't see my screen. Slash, I don't really know how to fully fly my drone. I'm kind of a novice at best, and I got very close. Apparently, I couldn't see it. Mike and Britta were closer to this tourist. I was like somewhere far away.
Yeah, I mean the guy leaned out of the way and stumbled back. It was close.
And we're on like the edge. We were up at Eagle's Nest. What's the official name?
Oh.
Can you say it?
I don't
put you on the spot for some German.
Kalstein or something like that.
Anyways, we're up in the clouds, and had that guy tripped and fallen, he would have fallen like off the side of a mountain. So basically I've been banned from flying my drone.
By me.
By Mike in populated areas. And the FAA, who I do have an official license through. I have like my drone license.
Yeah, but you realize that's an American institution.
Oh, you're
right.
No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay.
I don't know what the German.
I don't know if there is
much
one,
more serious,
but they'll definitely ban me. Yes. Right. So speaking of the German equivalent, I would like to hear the peak and pit of you. Let's give some context. You've been traveling for how long so far?
A little over a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
8 days.
And where have you roughly been so far?
We arrived in Amsterdam, spent 3 nights there, went to Germany to see Britta's parents for 2 nights, and then drove over to Austria to stay with you.
To meet us. You say stay with us like we live here. We're...
Well, according to my kids, you do live here.
They
were like, are we going to Maggie's house now?
Well, when
are we going
nice.
To be at
they
Maggie's house?
Here.
I'm like, she doesn't live here.
That's
She's
funny.
Renting it just
I'm
like
also
us.
A guest, just like you. So what is the peak and pit of your family's trip so far?
Let's see.
By the way, guys, peak is the best part and pit is like the worst thing.
Mm-hmm. I think the peak, there's been a lot of peaks. This has been a really spectacular trip so far.
Was it when I ran out of the Airbnb to greet you when y'all arrived?
I mean, that was one of the many peaks, yes. I think it was our little celebration today on top of this mountain in the German Alps.
That can't be your peak. That was going to be my peak.
Oh.
You should. Do you want to tell people about it or should I tell people about it?
I think you should tell people about it. But let me finish answering your question. The pit of the trip, honestly, I really can't think of anything. I mean, I guess the pit would be a roughly 4.5 hour drive. It's like a six and a half hour drive from Germany to Austria a couple days ago, and it was pouring down rain the whole time. And that was kind of stressful and took much longer than we thought. So, you know, a 4 hour trip turned into a 6 hour rainy trip in the car. That was the pit. But honestly, everything's been going really smoothly. We didn't have any issues in Schiphol Airport, which has been like
been all over the
famous
news
for having like 8 hour long security lines and stuff. So everything's gone pretty swimmingly. What about you, Meg?
Well, first off, we're about 12 days, 12 or 13 days. I'm losing track into our trip. We started in Amsterdam, spent a lovely 4 nights there. Then we went to Munich. Then we went to Innsbruck. Then we went to Salzburg. Then we came here. And it's been great. You know, peak and pit, I was really going to say, you know, I'm like you, we've had a lot of peaks. We've gotten to see some amazing things. I've really enjoyed like running in all these cities. I love it as a way to just explore a new city and quickly kind of get my bearings and see a lot of the city and have a little bit of quiet time, which is related to my only pit really. And I'll come back to my other peak, which is what you alluded to earlier. My only pit really is just, you know, some moments where it's like the kids are being crazy and we're in a, you know, stressful situation trying to like, you know, get somewhere on time or something. And, you know, it's just a little bit of like a moment, but it passes 10 minutes later and everything's great. And I remember I'm retired and on vacation and there's nothing to get bent out of shape about. But, you know, yeah, like you said, we've had a ton of peaks. I will say today, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours ago was a pretty cool moment. and this is what Mike was referencing earlier. So we have kind of ascended up this journey to get to Eagle's Nest, which is, I'm not going to do it justice explaining the historical nature of it. Greg can do that later because he really read a lot about it and read aloud to all of us earlier.
It was like a little vacation spot for Hitler that overlooked a beautiful spot in Germany.
Yeah, it's like up on this peak of a mountain all by itself. Yeah. It's called Eagle's Nest. And obviously it's got, you know, terrible whatever history beginnings, whatever, with the fact that, you know, it was Hitler's, but it no longer belongs to him, obviously. And it is just this beautiful, picturesque place. And it's really cool. And I almost hit a tourist in the head with a drone up at it. And so we're up there. We've like gone on this, you know, we've driven a decent distance to get there. We've been on this long journey. We're up there. We've, you know, done this kind of short hike with our kids. And we're also trying to get like a bunch of family pictures. And it's just, you know, it's like everybody's kind of like about ready to go. We're about to kind of turn around and like work our way down this maze of things that got us there. And Mike's like, oh, hey, gather everyone up. I've got like a treat for everyone, or surprise for, I don't know what word you used.
I think a surprise.
A surprise. And so I thought like, oh, surely it's food for the kids. It's some, and the kids are all like really excited. They were really let down, by the way, once they realized it was not for them, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
I was excited.
Because we did buy them ice cream like 2 minutes later.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So it doesn't matter when you buy them ice cream. They still want it 5 minutes later, by the way. But anyway, so we're, Mike's like kind of sits down on a rock and all the kids gather around them. We've got a ton of cool pictures of this. And I think he's about to like give them all a little treat in his bag. And I'm like, oh, that's nice of Mike to think of that. And Mike like pulls out two kind of mini bottles of Prosecco for like, I call them sippy cups, but like little kid plastic cups from the house we're staying in. And like colorful plastic kids cups. And then makes a very nice like toast talk, whatever. I was trying to focus, but I had like one of my kids like in my ear asking me, she's asking me questions all day long. So I was like really trying to like be present, but he was celebrating our retirement. So he was like looking at me and Greg and we're just saying like him and Britta wanted to just recognize this great achievement. And then this trip we're all on together. And it was just, maybe you could even restate everything you said up on the mountain, because the whole time I was like, oh, I wish that was recorded. Can you say that all again? Like,
I said that I was very proud of you and Greg, and it's been a real privilege to see you be on this journey for the last few years. And then also to not only see you achieve it, but then as soon as you leave work, you leave the country. And then we are the ones that get to go spend this very special, you know, 5 days with you traveling around. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that was well said. I'm going to remember it better now that you restated it.
Well, plus we got on the podcast.
Well, yeah, and there's no kid like talking to my ear while you're saying it. Well, so then Mike, we had like a nice toast. Well, first before the toast, Mike opens the Prosecco and we're very, very high up. So at one point after the Prosecco explodes everywhere, as it like shoots off, we're like, well, we'll never see those corks again.
Oh my God.
Britta's like reminding us about the altitude up here.
Yeah.
And that's probably why everything's exploding. And then the second one you open even more carefully, yet it continues to get all over your like camera bag. Now we know next time how to open Prosecco on a mountaintop, move all of our stuff out of the way. And we had like a really nice toast. And then we just sat there and like all enjoyed the moment for a minute, took a few pictures. A lot of people were like looking at us.
Yeah.
And we're...
There was some woman who was up there watching us.
And I think she probably thought we got engaged or something.
No, she clapped when we did the second one. She was like, yay.
I missed that. I totally missed that.
Yeah. And there was a lot of people enjoying that with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
They thought it was funny. Those corks went 200 feet in the air.
Yeah. The corks are what got people's attention because it made a very loud noise.
Yeah. It sounded like a gunshot.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, that's probably actually why everybody ducked right when the, okay. And so then we went and got ice cream. Everybody was happy.
Yeah.
And it was just really nice. And it was like I told Mike as we were, you know, kind of finishing this hike back down this little mountain. I was just like a very nice, thoughtful thing to do. And I appreciate the sentiment and the like, you know, thinking ahead to plan. And he hiked that Prosecco in. They've been carrying that for I don't know how long. So
I carried it the other day too, because we were thinking about going to Eagle's Nest.
Oh, you had it
Saturday.
That whole day in
that's,
your bag?
That's probably why the cork blew 200
feet. Was it
in
your
year.
Bag that whole
yeah,
day?
Yeah, I carried it for two full
we
days.
We were hiking for really, we hiked like 6 miles the day before.
Yeah, I backpacked full Prosecco.
That's so funny that it was with you that day too.
Yeah.
And then the best part was at some point, I think we're like splitting all the groceries. So at some point, Mike was like, Greg or somebody was thanking you. And he was like, I mean, you guys pay for half of this, so don't worry.
Yeah, you guys pay for your own bottle.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Good.
Okay, so I think we were talking about peaks and pits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only other pit that Mike now makes fun of me about is I got swindled by an ATM machine in English Gardens Park in Munich at a Hofbrauhaus when I was trying to get money. I needed money from that ATM. It's a long story, but I was trying to pay a pedicab and I was in a hurry. And as I told Mike, I was hot. It was just sunny and I was hot and I was in a hurry. And
well, let me tell this story.
Okay.
So I don't even know how this came up, but you like went into excruciating detail about the different fees and costs you incurred on this ATM withdrawal. And we were like all poking fun at you about it. And you're like, listen, I was hot and in a hurry. I was not in the mood to mess with this ATM. And now that has become like the motto of the trip, hot and in a hurry.
And so every time I'm like impatient, he's like, she's hot and in a hurry. Get out of her way. Like, but just to be clear too, I got out 250 euros and I was charged 303 euros. And it all happened very quickly and in German. And I was hot and in a hurry.
Yeah.
And that was a $53, euro and dollars are like pretty close right now. So I'm just guesstimating a $53 mistake, which is just annoying. And, you know, whatever. I'll move on. I'm not still bitter about it.
So if anybody likes collecting any of our stickers, maybe we'll do a Friends on Fire hot and in a hurry sticker.
Yeah. Hot and in a hurry
to commemorate our
it can be good like retreat. Pizza delivery service name too. Hot and in a hurry, we get you your pizza fat. Well, you in a hurry and you want it hot, we'll get you that. So yeah, beware. There are like my bank card, which I love through Fidelity, pays back all ATM fees. What it doesn't pay back is a crappy currency conversion, which is what some of these ATMs in very touristy locations do.
Mm-hmm.
So one good just tip for people to turn this rambling story into something meaningful for people who came here for a financial podcast is go to a real bank ATM, not one of those that's just like a third party one, because they warn you on the screen. But when you're hot and in a hurry, you don't read the screen. You're just like hitting the buttons to get through the prompts.
Everything's a blur.
And I remember seeing 303 and thinking, huh, but I only got 250 out. And then later I realized it. Okay, let's move on.
All right. So we are in this beautiful house in the Alps.
Beautiful.
And we're with a bunch of girls. We have five little girls between our two families.
Seven women and two men.
Yeah.
There's just you and Greg. That's
I know.
The only guys.
It's a lot. I didn't fully appreciate the kind of exponential growth of noise when a bunch of girls get together.
Mm-hmm.
My girls have been a little out of control. Here's trying to.
Are they out of? Is this like different than they typically are?
Yeah, they're much more kind of bouncing off the walls. Either just because they're like super engaged with their kids, or they're trying to impress them, or whatever. But they're really not misbehaving, but just acting out a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm not around your kids enough to know the difference. I thought this is just how they are all the time, but Greg and I talk about all the time. We noticed that just with our three kids, that when it's just one of them or even just two of them, it is a totally different vibe than when it is all three of them. When it is all three of them, there's just like this amount of exponential energy and craziness that is has been in my backseat every day for a long time. And it's a lot.
So what we thought would be kind of fun is to bring them out one by one. Every single person that's staying in this house.
Are we bringing them out one by one too?
Yep. That's and asking us some questions. Do you remember the last time we did this? Do you remember the episode number?
I do, because the other night, three of the kids are sleeping. My kids are sleeping up in this loft area, which is right on top of our like living space. And the other night, the first night we were here, I was trying to get them to go to bed because we're like all basically in the shared space at night. And they asked if they could listen to the kids' Friends on Fire episode, which they do every now and then, not that often. And we were like, sure, that's funny. And I had to look it up for them. It's episodes 11 and 12.
Unbelievable.
Which
so
is
long
crazy.
Ago.
Yeah. We're past 150 now. So that was, it was over, it was well over 2 years ago. So yeah, we're going to, so, and they were little, like even when as a result of them listening to it, I reheard a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they like, especially your youngest one, like she sounded
she
like
a
tiny little baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's so much more articulate now.
So should we bring her out? Should we just go from youngest to oldest?
I think
oldest?
We said we were going to go youngest to oldest.
Okay.
Yeah.
So our first guest is going to be my youngest daughter, Mia.
We're going to bring the kids and then we're going to bring out our spouses.
Yeah.
We thought about, I thought we were going to all sit here and Mike that earlier be, was like, you're crazy. That's not going to work.
One at a time. All right. So let's introduce Mia.
Hey, do you want to sit with me? Come on, listen, you get to sit with Mike or me. Yes. Guess who chose my lap and not Mike's lap?
Yeah. Mia, hello.
Hi.
So Mia, do you like spending time with your daddy or Maggie more?
Maggie.
Oh, of course you do. Maggie's pretty fun, right?
Mia, how old are you?
6.
What grade are you going into?
1st.
Am I your favorite person in this house?
Daddy.
Oh, good answer. Good answer, sweetie.
She knows who she's got to live with long term. Okay.
Now, Mia, have you enjoyed spending so much time traveling with Mommy and Daddy?
Yes.
What has been your favorite part of our trip so far?
Going on the big slide.
Oh, that was the last thing we did today.
Today or the water slide?
Today.
Oh, that was great.
Do you know that Greg fell out of the big slide? He'll show you all of his, he was going way too fast, which he was warned about by his wife. And he fell out of the slide and like, this is like a, not something you want to fall out of.
Yeah.
Going very fast. He like went down a curve and fell out of it and is like pretty bruised up.
So you like the alpine slide?
Yes.
Now, would you like to keep traveling with your family and Maggie's family forever?
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh. That would be
you
fun.
You want us to stay with you and keep traveling? Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How do you feel about money? Like, if you could have more time or more money, which would you rather have?
Money.
What would you do with it?
Lemonade stand.
Oh, you, okay.
That's how you make
money. That's how you make money, but okay. Hey, wait, another question, Mia.
What?
If your dad could have all the time in the world to hang out with you and play and take you on trips and just go to the pool and just color, do whatever you want to do, or he had to work a lot to make more money, what would you rather him do?
Play with me.
Oh, there we
yeah.
go.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Mia. Thanks, good answer. Mia. All right. Thanks, you're sweetie. Good. Next up is my older daughter, Emma. How are you doing, Emma?
Good.
Emma, how old are you?
8.
What grade are you going into?
3rd.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I don't know.
That's fine. You got a lot of time.
Yeah, you can figure
it out. No pressure.
So, Emma, what has been your favorite part of our trip so far?
The slide we went on.
Oh, you That's too? The alpine slide? Man, that was really fun for you. We might have to go
it's
back.
It's going to be Greg's favorite part. Actually, I think he really had fun falling, but why was it your favorite part?
Because there was a lot of turns, and we could also go by yourself or go with an adult.
Oh, and you got to go by yourself.
And with my dad.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Oh, I didn't realize you went with Mike on one.
Yeah. Have you enjoyed spending time with Maggie and her family?
Yes.
It's really cool to spend time with all the girls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Emma, let me ask you a question. If you, this is a question about what's more important to you, time or money. If your mom and dad could have all the time in the world to play with you and hang out with you and
take
like
you
color,
trips.
Take you on trips, you know, go horseback riding, you know, whatever you like to do, but they didn't quite have as much money. They had to be a little more frugal and like, you know, keep an eye on things, or they could work a lot, have less time to spend with you, but work all the time and then buy you all the horses you want in the world, you know, like have like all the money in the world, but no time to spend with you. What would you rather have? Would you rather have their money or their time?
The money so I can buy so much horses.
Yeah, I think you lost her on the horses. All right, so we would never buy you real horses. So let me ask this to you again. Would you rather have all the toys you want or all the time with me and Mommy so that we can travel and do fun things and go visit horses?
Have more time with you guys.
Oh, thanks, sweetie.
That's cute.
We'll take you horseback riding again, I promise.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Emma.
Thank you, Emma. I love that also because while we're interviewing Emma, she's wearing a lot of our kids' old clothes. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm seeing Emma and Mia, every day they come out with something and I'm like, oh, I remember that. Like, I love seeing, you know, second, third life of clothes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Some of those things are the third. Oh, hello.
So Kate is my daughter and our youngest. How old are you, Kate?
10.
What grade are you going into?
5th grade.
Okay.
Now, Kate, have you enjoyed spending so much uninterrupted time with your parents traveling around?
It's okay. I mean, I kind of want to go home, but it's fine.
You were a little homesick today?
Yes.
Kate, what was the best part of this trip so far? Like the funnest thing you've done so far?
I probably liked Amsterdam. I actually think that big slide on the mountain.
Oh my God. Everybody likes that Alpine Luge slide. That's incredible.
Yeah, we've taken you to some of the most, like, you've been to like UNESCO World Heritage places.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
But this slide, which we could have done, like, you know, it's six flags in Atlanta. Yeah. I'm glad you were the third person to say that was their favorite thing so far. It was also, in fairness, the most recent thing we've done. And I think recency.
It's like easier to remember.
It is. Because you were about to talk about biking in Amsterdam?
I wasn't.
Oh, sorry. What were you going to say?
I was just about to say that I liked Amsterdam.
Okay. Yeah, Amsterdam's a pretty cool city.
Well, so Kate, I know for years you've been mentioning something to me, and I'm going to re-ask you a question that we're asking everybody, but you very quickly like kind of regretted an answer you gave when we interviewed you in the kids part 2 episode. And I asked you something about like time or money and like what was more important. Like, would you rather have more time with, you know, me and your other parents? Or would you rather have like all the money in the world, right? You can't have both. You can have time or money, and what's more important? And at the time, I think you said money. You'd rather have like more toys and stuff.
Yeah.
What would you say now is more important to you? Like, do you want more time with me and a frugal-ish lifestyle? And I say frugal-ish because look, we're on a 6-week trip to Europe. So that's not too frugal. But what would you rather have?
Probably like more frugal and more time, but like more trips too.
Okay.
Yeah, good answer.
So you say more trips, but then you also said you were like wanting to go home.
Like a 2-week trip every summer.
Okay, got it. Yeah. I will say we've had some learnings, which we can get into later, about such a long trip. And I think even the adults have, like Greg and I have talked about it a bit. But yeah, I like it. I get it. You still want to travel and like do stuff and have experiences. You just maybe don't need 6 weeks of it away. And you're also in a unique situation since we're a blended family of, for us to do a 6-week trip, you have to be away from your dad for 6 weeks. And that's tough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being on our show for the second time.
You're welcome.
We'll send you your royalty check soon. These kids are as riveting as I remember 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. Hey, Anna. Welcome to our show again. So Anna, you've been on this trip for almost 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts overall?
What's been your favorite part?
Going to Amsterdam, probably.
Yeah. Amsterdam's cool. It wasn't the slide today?
Well, the slide was pretty cool.
Yeah, the slide was cool. Everybody else has said the slide. have you ever seen mountains that big?
No.
The ones you saw?
Today, no. Up at Eagle's Nest?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Are you enjoying those beautiful views? What do you care more about, those beautiful views or screen time?
Screen time.
So depressing and breaks my heart, but this is a different future topic.
I'm kidding. No, the views.
You don't need to be kidding.
No, it was a joke. The views, probably.
Okay.
It's just nice to see
them. The views and the ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
and the ice cream, right. Having ice cream while watching a view is pretty, you know.
Can't beat that.
It's the adult equivalent of like a cold beer up at the top of a
which we also have.
Which we've also
It was
had.
A great day.
Okay, you got any parting words of wisdom for us, or you want to send in your sister?
No, not really.
Well, thank you.
Send Maddie.
So Maddie, you are the oldest of the 5 girls. Now we've gotten some like different answers on how people feel about the trip. How do you feel about the experience of spending 6 weeks traveling around Europe?
I like it, but like it's kind of hard being away from home from so close, like a long time.
Mm-hmm. What do you miss about home?
My mom and like seeing other people and
her friends.
Yeah.
And what do you enjoy about the experience of being in Europe? The ice cream's great. Let's start there, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you enjoy walking around beautiful cities?
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm. You enjoying like exploring new places?
Yeah.
Okay. And what about the mountain views?
They're really pretty.
Today it was like, have you ever seen anything as beautiful as the view today?
No.
Is there anything that you really like to do on this trip that you haven't done yet?
That's a good question. I don't know. I really want to go to like France.
Good. It's on your itinerary. Perfect.
We're going to be there in less than 2 weeks, in like a week and a half.
You're going to love France.
Yeah, I'm excited. And on our way to France, we'll have to spend a week and a half in Italy. So great. That's exciting. And you love pasta. So there's a lot of pasta in your future. Okay. Well, I do feel like real quick, we should just give a little bit of context that Maddie and Anna are my stepdaughters. In case any new listeners are wondering why Maddie said she misses her mom, but I'm on this trip.
Yeah.
So yes, Maddie and Anna have their biological mother, and they're having to be away from her for 6 weeks, which is, you know, it's tough. Yeah. It's sad. Yeah, we were very gracious that she allowed us to take you guys on this trip for 6 weeks, and that Kate's dad did the same. So I know you miss her. I'm glad you got to FaceTime her a lot. Okay, any other parting words of wisdom you want to leave us with before we send you back into that rowdy crew inside? I can hear them from here.
Not really.
Okay, can you please, thank you, and can you please send in Britta and Greg?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks. And tell your sisters to be quiet.
All right, so next up, we have our spouses, which hopefully we will get some more robust answers than our kids. Yeah. Everybody loved the slide and eating ice cream. That's basically the gist of it.
Yeah, we came all the way to Europe for something we could have done 10 minutes from our house.
Hi.
But they're young. Greg's good at reminding me. Did you say, like, you just said hi.
Yeah. Hi, Greg. Welcome.
Greg also came here for the ice cream. So we got and the slide, which we talked about your injury.
It was fun. Okay. So we got Britta, my wife, Greg, your husband, for anybody who's just listening to our show.
You're new here.
And we're just going to ask you a couple quick questions like we asked the kids about their trip, and then you get to hear everybody's answers.
Okay, I got a hard-hitting question. Do you need a drink? We can pause. Hey, by the way, before I ask Britta a question, we should have properly introduced Britta as our full-time translator. So Britta is German, grew up in Germany.
Yes, I am.
And look, it's been a pleasure traveling with you guys, but it's been an extra pleasure having Britta just cut through all the like crap of like not speaking the local language.
Now, when most people travel and
they bring a Brita?
No, and they don't speak the language. They speak English, but they speak slowly to the person to try to help them understand. Maggie's tactic is to speak more English to the person who doesn't speak and provide more context and hope that that is what solves it. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have noticed that. And you know what? It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work with Americans.
But I keep trying.
Okay.
I think you just intimidate them. And then they kind of get their German.
Up.
Yeah, they freeze up their German like freeziness. And they're like, should I be mad at this woman? Or should I call for help? What should I do here?
Should I call the police? Okay. So Britta, I have a fun question for you. When you first met Mike, and I don't know what date this was on, but you learned about his goals of early retirement and kind of his proposed path and plan in life. Like, what did you think? And how has that kind of evolved over time? Like, were you on board? Were you like, oh, this makes me like him even more?
Well, first of all, I wonder why you think this is a fun question, but I will give you an answer, of course. It actually didn't surprise me because I actually grew up similar to the lifestyle we have today. Like, my parents are Swabian, and Swabians...
What does that mean?
That's the region in Germany where we're from. Okay. And Swabians are by nature frugal and have always kind of have a good view on their money, have a good grasp on what things cost. So when I grew up, it was normal that we went, for example, to buy shoes, and I could only buy the shoes that were on sale. Like, anything else was not an option. We would go always to the cheapest gas station because that's where we saved money. When we were traveling, like something what we did today, we went on amazing trips as kids, but I actually talked to Mike today in the car on the ride back from one of our from one of our adventures today. And I said, you know, as a child, I never went into restaurants during our trips. So for me, it's still like so foreign to be like, oh my God, I'm going in there and I'm just not treating myself, but also my kids, because I never did that as a kid. So coming back to your question, it really just was like, wow, you're an American that's on board with this. It just kind of merged into actually how I've always lived my life and how I envisioned living, I guess, but I never put a term on it.
Yeah.
It is only when I met Mike that I actually learned that this is a lifestyle and this is a thing and that there's a term for this. But actually for me, to wrap my answer up here, it actually didn't change it.
Well, it was a plus, right? It sounds like it was like a checkbox of the like, you know, Mike's a good fit for me.
Absolutely. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It hopefully outweighed all those other negatives that came with him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. We're going to wrap this up right now. All right. Let's move on to a question for Greg. So Greg, you retired on the same day as Maggie and almost immediately left for a 6-week trip to Europe. That's like a pretty dramatic change in lifestyle from being fully employed to being unemployed and traveling. What has this experience been like so far? You've been gone 2 weeks.
It's been great. It is definitely, you know, we've done a couple episodes kind of checking in and talked about kind of the mix of emotions related to retiring and trying to slow down. And so going on a trip has been great because it really forces you to, you know, just get outside your comfort zone. I think just the whole family was excited, but a little bit anxious or, you know, out of sorts about the trip just because it was going to be such a long trip. Anyway, it's been great. I think some of my observations are just that I've been able to be much more present. I think usually when I'm traveling, I'm, you know, worrying about work or just kind of thinking about it or thinking about, oh, I didn't get that email done. And it was great to be at the airport and just be thinking about the trip and not, you know, maybe thinking a little bit about like, oh, the house and things at home, but nothing about work. And I haven't thought about checking email once because I don't have to. And so it's been really nice. And I think just the duration of the trip has been pretty incredible. Usually 2 weeks is our longest trip. So we would be at the point now where we'd be thinking, okay, a couple more days and we're heading home.
And you're just getting started.
Yeah. And to know we've still got several more weeks is pretty amazing. And then even when we get home, I think too, that's the other thing is you know, you're always excited to get home to your house, but not so much to get back to the grind of work. And so I'm going to be really excited when we're going home that we're going, you know, the excitement of getting back to our house and, you know, just our little routines, but not the stress of going back to work. And so I think that's the other thing that's kind of sunk in a few times is, oh, wow, even when the trip does end, you know, we're still on vacation.
Your new life, right? Yeah.
This is just the beginning. What about me? Have you noticed anything different with me on this trip?
I think you have definitely been more present. I think we've both had our moments of stress just because traveling with three young children is stressful. And we've both had our moments where we've gotten a little impatient, but I think we've both been able to be a little more patient. And when one of us is kind of, you know, frustrated about a situation, the other one's been able to kind of just like be the kind of the calming voice and just like, okay, we got this. It's fine. And so, yeah, it's been great. I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah, I agree. I concur. Britta, so we mentioned you are from Germany and this particular part of this trip that we're on together, we're in Austria now. But we've been a lot like visiting places in Germany. And just curious, like what it's like kind of traveling in the countries like Germany and Austria, where you speak the language and are very familiar with the areas versus when you're traveling other places like France and places where you don't speak the language. And then a follow-up is, are you tired of translating things for me?
Well, first of all, the first part of the question about traveling in German-speaking countries, I love it because it reminds me on how beautiful Germany is. I have to admit that when I was younger, we would always go abroad. like we spent summers traveling through the US. We rented an RV for 4 weeks and traveled the US. And I've been to a lot of national parks and in on the West Coast. And I've seen a lot of that, but actually going to Berchtesgaden, going to Königssee, for me, that is the most beautiful spot in Germany. And I had never been there until I met Mike and two of his buddies came to Germany and we traveled around. And it really shows me that you don't have to travel far in order just to find beautiful, beautiful spots and beautiful locations to vacation. And it obviously makes it much easier if it's your own language, because you don't have that stressful part of what you mentioned earlier about translation. And I don't speak the language. And how do I get around? And oh, what am I going to do about parking if I don't understand it? Maybe I don't have cell phone service, so I can't use a Google Translator. So you don't have that added stress. And I think it's applicable to any kind of home country. I hear that from a lot of friends of mine, either direction. I have so many American friends now that go abroad. And when they come back, they said, I never realized how beautiful my country is until I've been gone for a while. And I have that on the German side too. I have so many friends, they went abroad, they went to the US, for example, come back home, was like, I have never realized how beautiful it is here until I spent 2, 3, 4, however many years, even just 1 year abroad. So yeah, it's been great. And I love this. And I love that we can share this trip with you, Maggie and Greg, because it is a lot of fun, even combining our American friends with traveling in these beautiful countries in Europe.
I'll also add that you mentioned other countries like France. Britta speaks French. So when we go to France, she also has to translate everything there too.
Wait a minute. How many other languages have you been hiding from us?
Only French, but I also have a sister-in-law who's a French native speaker, and she's going to be on our trip to France this year. So I do rely on her for translations, but I can get around.
When we're with her.
But when we're on our own, I can get around because I actually studied French for 9 years in school. I only studied English for 4.
Well, your English is very good also.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Britta. Greg, hard-hitting question for you. And
how's your German?
No.
We spent hours on this topic. That this hard-hitting question is.
Yeah. Around. And it's something that, Greg, you have developed surprisingly a passion around. And
this is true.
With your brain freed up from work, you can focus on things that make you really happy, which apparently is international grocery stores. You have spent a lot of time discussing and thinking and traveling to grocery stores on your trip. Tell us, what is the most fascinating thing you have learned about the Aldi company?
Yeah, well, to give a little context to this, I don't want to jump right into the deep end here, but I've over the past few years developed quite an affinity for Aldi, as I think everyone sitting around this table has. And we shop there in the US regularly. And often we'll say, it's amazing because the prices are so great, yet the quality of the products is so good too. And so to be in Germany, the home of Aldi, was pretty cool, to see an Aldi and, oh gosh, what's we're going to like an Aldi in Germany. I mean, it was a big deal.
The highlight of our trip. I mean, we were like,
it's thrilling.
Mapping out. I mean, we saw an Aldi when we got out, and that was actually in Austria, I think in Innsbruck. Where were we?
Munich, the first Munich. In the train station.
Germany, yeah. We saw an Aldi, and I ran to that thing like I was like, hadn't seen my mother in 5 years. Like, I was like, it's an Aldi, and I wasn't expecting it to. And then we've continued to visit. I mean, we've been to like 6 different Aldis and Hofers, which Greg will tell you about.
Yeah. So we've visited quite a few Aldis, and part of it is just, in trying to be frugal while we travel, we're always snacking. The kids always want stuff. Since Munich, we've been driving a lot. So it's great to stop into an Aldi and just get kind of road snacks and little things. And then when we are in an Airbnb, we can, get food and cook. So we're not, we don't have the added expense of eating out. So we've really enjoyed going to Aldis. When you cross the border into Austria, you discover that they're called Hofers. And
how did you spell that?
Hofer, and it's the same logo as Aldi Süd, which is the southern branch of Aldi, which is what we are familiar with in the United States.
I think you should elaborate more a little bit on Aldi Süd and Aldi Nord. because I don't think our listeners understand what that means.
And they want to.
Yes, you have done the research, Greg.
Well, I'm happy to. I originally learned this from you, Britta, when we were at your house, actually, back in the U.S. But so apparently Aldi was one company in Germany, and at some point a family-owned company.
Two brothers.
Okay. So at some point they decided to split the business into Aldi North and Aldi South.
Was that a friendly split, or was that like a big family debacle thing?
Yes. So the Aldi split is similar to the Adidas split. So when Adidas split into when Adidas split into Adidas and Puma, there was the Dessler brothers and the Aldi brothers that were similar for the split in Aldi North and Aldi South.
So, but was this an amicable split, the Aldi brothers? Was it amicable?
Not 100%.
Okay, we'll find out. We'll follow up. We'll do a future episode on this. Keep going.
Greg hasn't done that research yet.
No, I've not. I've missed out on specifically whether it was, you know, a good split or not. But I mean, it sounds like they still sort of work together. Like they contract for certain products. But
they co-parent. You're right.
Yeah. So just to quick summary is any Aldi you see in the United States is part of Aldi South. And
also known as
Aldi Sud. And then any Trader Joe's you see in the United States is part of Aldi Nord or Aldi North. And so we've been in southern Germany and in Austria. So we've been strictly patronizing Aldi Sud or Hofer, which we were kind of all curious. Even Britta didn't know because we first, of course, went to Britta like we do for everything, like translate this, like, tell us this, Google. What does this mean? And we expect her to know everything. Like we see a plant and we're like, Britta should know this plant's growing in Germany. She should know exactly what type of plant it is. And
yeah, you know, Britta, tell me how to use the washing machine. Britta, my kid's legs are itching. Why? And then Britta immediately points out something that's like the German version of poison ivy and is like that. She really does know everything.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
It comes with growing up here. Yeah. Yes.
Well, but there's many things. I mean, you could ask me in the United States if we're hiking and, you know, someone's leg is itching. I don't know. Probably a bug. Who knows?
Anyway, so, she's quite impressive. She's quite the impressive.
Yeah. Student. And I think Mike's probably gonna have to do some serious editing on this one because this is rambling. But so we discovered that Hofer is part of Aldi South or Aldi Sud. And it is but when they expanded to Austria, the Aldi name was already taken by another company, unrelated, but so they had to adopt a new name, and there was already a grocery store that they purchased. Known as Hofer. And so they adopted that name because it was more well-known in Austria. So they still have different names, same logo, same amazing products. It's been great. And so we've been joking that like, I was kind of sad that we were going to leave Austria and Germany soon. Thought, where are we going to shop? And to my surprise and delight, apparently Aldi is in Italy, Southern France. And so we're going to be able to shop at Aldi throughout the rest of this trip. And I was commenting to Mike last night saying that I think in the future, I think I will only travel places where I can shop at Aldi.
And Greg also learned that the Aldi app that you can download on your phone, you can actually select the country that you're in, or you can look at the special buys for that Aldi in that specific country. And I have to admit that opens up borders because you can prepare your trips based on special buys coming up. So you have not even dug into that, to be honest, Greg. That is next level Aldi shopping.
Yeah, I agree. It's like the Disney World. It's a small ride. It's a small world. Once you have the Aldi app, it's now a small world. Borders. It opens all borders.
Yeah.
We are now one international community together.
Frugal grocery shoppers.
Brought together shoppers. By Aldi.
Brought together by Aldi.
Whatever you want to call Aldi in your countries, we're open to that.
So in Europe, actually, Aldi is labeled a discount grocery store. So you are a discount grocery store follower, hopefully soon to be expert.
I'll take that.
And you'll notice I did having 7 interview guests in our podcast is getting long. So I did just take the mic from Greg because he'll talk about Aldi all night long if we let him. And then the last Aldi Hofer story is.
Oh, so you're going to talk about it now?
When you're talking about the app, and Britta was saying you can like look up, you know, what's in what country. So we're like in the Aldi together grocery shopping. It's honestly chaos. Our kids are like running around the store. They've been reprimanded by one employee already. And we're trying to like figure out dinner. And then I like turn and we're going to check out. And Britta's got a thing of hiking sticks on the car. And she's like, they're a great deal. They're only nine. And I was
$9.99.
Like, yeah. I mean, they were some like nice looking hiking, like nice they hiking, really good tracking, like hiking poles. They were very nice. It's just another testament to what an amazing
you should always have over. Extra space in your luggage when you travel, because also, Maggie, you bought a salad spinner
in Munich
to do your laundry, but at the same time, you might actually take that thing home because you love it so much. So always leave extra space in your luggage because you never know what amazing Aldi special bite you find.
I was going to go off on a salad spinner tangent, but Mike is looking at me with daggers.
This is going to take me 10 hours to edit this episode.
Okay. Well,
let's thank our spouses.
I think we'd like to thank you for coming out here. And if you guys could go in and wash the dishes, Greg,
and
like,
put our kids
to bed, that'd be great.
I already cleaned up the dishes in the dishwasher. Oh, and actually, Greg already did dishes. So thank you. Yeah, yes. But we can also take care of the kids.
I mean, we're out here working. I was going to say making money, but you know, we're not. So we're just out here.
There's also always an opportunity to sponsor Friends on Fire. So there you're interested in sponsoring Friends on Fire.
We only take one sponsor and it will be Aldi. So when you're ready, Aldi or Hofer, please call us.
Or
Aldi sued Trader Joe's. We're open to the entire Aldi Trader Joe's family, dynasty, whatever.
And maybe sued we can even bring you guys back together. I think you come sit and break bread with this group.
Didn't
and
you
I
say
think
there was
you,
a rumor that they were getting
there was
back
a rumor
together?
That, but I don't, you know, they said by 2022 and that's not happened yet. So,
yeah, well, we'll keep you guys abreast of what's going on in the Aldi dynasty. Don't you worry.
All right, Britta, Greg, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was just joking about needing to do the dishes, but thanks for already doing them. So, yeah, bringing through seven guests.
Yeah, I think we blurred our list.
It's tough, yeah.
All right, Maggie. So we got an interesting question from a listener.
Was it about the salad spinner?
No, it's not about the salad spinner. But I think it'd be a good thing to kind of finish our discussion on. This listener asked, how is our travel different with you not working and for me working? And you and I had discussed this a little bit. I think it'd be interesting to share our thoughts. So maybe I should go first because I am still working. And I think more people will relate to my answer.
More people want to relate to me, but they do relate to me now.
Now that
you
I'm
the only one. You see how cocky I am already as like an early retiree. Yeah. Like, I'm so great.
So I think one big difference between me and you when you were still working, though, is like you and I had kind of different, we had different, very different types of jobs, but also different levels of demands in our job. And so I was never at the point that you were at with how demanding your job has been. So I am still working, but I find it to be very relaxing. I laid a lot of groundwork. Everybody knew that I was going to travel. I kind of set stuff up and put my schedule in motion to make sure that there weren't any conflicts. And so I have been, you know, off, but employed. I work on Wednesdays, one day a week.
So you're basically, to clarify, you're traveling for a month, but you are working 4 days to kind of keep things moving with you and your team.
Yeah. And I did a lot of work on the front end to make sure that this could happen and function appropriately. But the thing that is going to be the biggest difference between me and you is that stuff pops into my head that either is, you know, can be fun, something I'm interested in at work, or something that's not fun, or I get an email that is something I don't want to deal with. But, you know, work is still on my mind. And I'll kind of think of something late at night and be like, oh yeah, you know, on Wednesday I should really go do this. I'll make myself a note. But that takes me out of the moment, whatever I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to my comment earlier about having, you know, different levels of demands in our job, you know, I don't find it to be overly taxing on me, or like it doesn't like disappoint me or frustrate me. It's just I still like my job. It's still kind of fun. It's interesting. I like people. And so I'm in a good spot. And so when stuff pops into my head, I just kind of take care of it. I make a note or I fire off an email. So
hey,
I
haven't. Someone flying a drone?
I know.
That's a drone.
Hold on, we got some drone competition up in the Austrian Alps. This is how, when you say something pops in your head and you get distracted about like work, this is what pops into my head. I'm like, do I hear a drone? Someone's flying a drone?
Anyway, so okay. Let me, it's probably you're,
I'm sorry.
Probably a good way for me to signal for me to wrap up. So what I'm saying is work stuff pops into my head. I can't help but think about it. It takes me out of the moment, which could be a very nice moment at the time. I don't find it to be terribly inconvenient or depressing, but it's, you know, it's not the experience you're having.
Yeah. And I think we also, I mean, one of my observations just from knowing you is like, you definitely, I think, are right. And you commented like the demands of our job were different, but also I think how we both managed work and managed our stress was different. Like you're way better at setting boundaries than I am in my brief observations of like our work, just seeing you work and like having actually worked with you before and stuff.
I just set boundaries with you. I'd be like, Maggie, stop emailing me. Can't help you today.
But no, don't you think you're right? Don't you think I'm right? I mean that you do. I think just as a broad observation, like, again, we work together, but not like daily. I mean, we work together like a few hours a week on things work related. And then otherwise we're like not in each other's day-to-day worlds at work. But it always seemed like you were good at setting boundaries and kind of, you know, I get pulled into things that I, you know, just get taken far down a rabbit hole on and like can't let go of and stuff. And just, I just ended up with, you know, a lot of things on my plate over the years. And also how I handled it and was able to kind of separate it at times got better over time, but, you know, was perhaps not as, you know, good or the same way that you handle it. And so for me, I think I've said this before, I had to like, I don't say had to, but felt like I had to make a clean break, right? Even when I tried part-time for a while, I was like, I really wasn't able to enjoy and use that time. It gave me a little bit more margin, but not what I truly was seeking and needed. It's funny, I'm talking, I'm like, I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to be talking about right now, but my experience.
How has your travel been that now that you're not working?
Yeah, it's funny when we were on that slide today that everybody was raving about, the Alpine slide, you take this little like ramp back up where you're still sitting in this cart by yourself and it moves very slowly. And so I recorded a video. I think I started showing it to you, but didn't finish, Mike. I recorded a video about some of my observations because I was like, this is just, I'm in this beautiful setting and I'm just thinking about life. And I was just appreciating that I have been way more present and engaged and like fun and in the moment and silly with my kids. And yeah, I still have moments where I'm getting stressed out and where, you know, I'm hot and in a hurry and getting charged 53 extra, getting charged 53 extra euros at the ATM in Munich. But I get frustrated with my kids sometimes, they're being crazy or whatever, or rowdy. But overall, I am like, I've forgotten to check my email for like my personal email for days. I'm out of the habit of things that I was in. And it's a good feeling, right? Like I'm disconnected in a good way from constantly looking at my screen and constantly looking at my email. And I am just more present and engaged, which was one of my big hopes and desires for myself and for those around me who are impacted by, you know, the way I am. And I'm not perfect, but I'm seeing massive and meaningful improvements, which are very, what's the word? Like encouraging, incredibly encouraging for what the future holds. And I think I said it at our 6-week check-in, like I'm incredibly optimistic for the future and just feeling, you know, really good. Like I was so scared to make this move and I'm kind of like forging forward and not looking back in any way. And I was very, very scared that I was going to look back with regret and be like, I walked away from a successful and thriving career. Every time I say things like that, I picture like some of my bosses being like, I'm not sure if I'd say you were thriving, but like, anyways, I walked away from like a very successful and highly paid career and a company that thought well of me. And I was in a very good situation and they were giving me flexibility and other things. And I walked away from it and I was very scared to do it. And I was scared I would regret it. And I'm not, I think I look back very fondly with the experiences I had, but I haven't once felt regretful. I really have been like happy and moving forward and not looking back and not worrying about the past.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I have certainly noticed a difference just in our experiences together over the past few days doing all this stuff. You know, there's no, you're on your phone all the time, but it's because you're taking pictures all the time. You're not checking emails, you're not making phone calls, you're not getting distracted or frustrated by things. I mean, it's really quite an incredible turnaround.
Yeah, thanks. I love taking pictures. I always have. My dad was a photographer. I like capturing moments. So,
all right. I think on that, we should wrap up this very long.
It was like a 5-hour episode.
Yeah, wandering episode.
Yeah. Well, live from Hoffer, we should have recorded this at an Aldi.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we would have gotten
stuff. Yeah. Well, look, we had to prepare for a summer of traveling and pre-recorded a number of episodes before we left so that we could enjoy our time off and not
Yeah, we're not even working our unpaid jobs.
Yeah, yeah. And but we were like, we wanted to do one while we were together. So this is the one, and it'll air next Monday. And we're excited to just kind of give you guys a glimpse of what's been going on in this trip we're all on together. And we hope you have enjoyed this. And thank you. I don't even have our normal show notes to do our closing. So you know what? We're on Instagram somewhere. You can find us. We have a number you can text us at. Couldn't tell you what it is because I'm in vacation mode. And you can find it on our website. I do know that. That's www.friendsonfire.org. If you need to get in touch with us or do anything, go there. And it's all there.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Yeah. Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Bye.
Bye.